Just a little bit of a pre-recording to the main podcast. I listened to this again and it sounded a bit down because I was sick at the time, and I just want to make that clear. I also had some clothing or fabric rubbing against the mic, which is quite infuriating. I was going to record it again, but I thought that the essence of it was good, so I've left it as it is. But please excuse the poor sound at times. Thank you. Hi everyone, this is Tim. Welcome to North and South Podcasts. Just me talking today. I'm a little bit under the weather, and it's April showers time, and that means it's April and it's raining. And I must admit, it's affected my mood a little bit today. But I'm not well and I'm on antibiotics. And first of all, I want to just say thanks for antibiotics, because we don't die of things that we used to die of, certainly in this part of the developed world. So I'm appreciative of having antibiotics. But I was on some antibiotics last week that made me really, really nauseous. And I managed to get through to the GP, which is like getting hold of Godo, or having Godo turn up. This is another story. I don't want this to be a political podcast, but then again, all podcasts are political. I went on another antibiotic, and although I'm less sick, it affected my mood and I just feel weird. So I'm just going to have to ride it out, go into work tomorrow and not lose it with anyone because I feel irritable. So I just want to say thank you to all the people who've allowed me to be in good health and here today. And it might have been very, very different. So I'm just grateful that I was born now and not maybe 100 years ago. But then again, I'm sure people said that 100 years ago. Anyway, without being too philosophical, I'm going to talk today about depression. And this is a talk I gave at a Hope Street meeting about a month ago. And I've spoken about anxiety before, spoken about well-being before. But in particular, I'm going to talk about depression today. And I'm going to just give you my angle on it, my experience of it, what it might be, particularly in terms of what many important literary figures have written about it who've experienced it, and also just some of the information that I found out about it. So apparently depression affects about 5% of adults globally, and it can start to emerge as sleep issues, loss of appetite and not caring about things, feelings of sadness, lack of interest in things, and it then leads to wider feelings of despair and negativity and possibly suicidal thoughts and even planning suicide. Now, when you have these feelings for longer than a fortnight, you might have depression and you may need to go and speak to someone about it. There's medication options, there's counselling available. It might be due to an external event, etc., or a range of external events that you've gone through. But when you start to actually plan suicide, that's when you need to take action. Not to do it, but to speak to other people or get in touch with someone or an agency that can help so you don't actually do that. And we'll speak more on that later. Depression is a strange thing because it's very hard to explain to people who haven't experienced it. When I've had trouble in the past, I've spoken to my parents, I've spoken to the doctor or the GP whenever I've been bad. You can also in the UK speak to the crisis team, and there's also Samaritans who you can call. I'll put their contact details in the notes of this podcast. And then when you go to speak to professionals, you may be put on antidepressants and antipsychotics. Antipsychotics are more to do with personality disorders, to do with people who struggle in terms of keeping a grip on reality. And although I've never been on antipsychotics, antidepressants and antipsychotics are easily given out, but they can sometimes be hard to get off. And a lot of the time it's because you have to wait a very, very long time for support through counselling or other services. William Styron was a famous author who suffered from depression, and he wrote a fantastic book about having depression, and I've read some of the shortened versions of that book. I'd really recommend that you check out William Styron, because his work on depression is really, really good. This is a quote from Styron. "The pain of severe depression is quite unimaginable to those who have not suffered it, and it kills in many instances because its anguish can no longer be borne. The prevention of many suicides will continue to be hindered until there is a general awareness of the nature of this pain. The pain is unrelenting, and what makes the condition intolerable is the foreknowledge that no remedy will come, not in a day, an hour, a month, or a minute. If there is mild relief, one knows that it is only temporary. More pain will follow. It is hopelessness, even more than pain, that crushes the soul. So the decision-making of daily life involves not, as in normal affairs, shifting from one annoying situation to another less annoying, or from discomfort to relative comfort, or from boredom to activity, but moving from pain to pain." Styron suffered from it quite severely, and his work is very good. Another good writer for explaining depression is David Foster Wallace, the late David Foster Wallace. And he explained it as that feeling of just when you're about to be sick and you feel terrible, of having that all over and it won't go. So some powerful writing has been done. There's lots more done on that as well. The first time it impacted on me was in April 2007, and it was a very, very strange feeling. I woke up and it was just like a dark cloud affected everything around me. My whole consciousness was affected, and I felt that my consciousness, which is quite objective, the nature of my mind within that consciousness just completely darkened the whole experience of my existence. I remember the clothes I was wearing. I remember the feeling and how I just wanted it to go away. I didn't know what it was, but it was the first time that I'd truly experienced it. I was going through a lot at the time. I felt that my inner world was dark, my aura around me was dark, that the external world was dark. Everything I interpreted was just doom and gloom, worthless. Just a feeling of just nihilism. And there are comorbidities that go with depression, and I've suffered from anxiety, OCD in the past. And obviously issues with neurodiversity as of latterly. Well, I'm awaiting diagnosis with that, but depression doesn't often emerge by itself. It happens with other things as well. It's a very powerful feeling, and I think at its most fundamental level, it's a response to stress. And I think it's a coping mechanism, because it's a tool that shuts you down and protects you. So it says, don't go out, don't mix with others, just look after yourself for a bit because you're struggling. And I think that's where the feeling comes. So it forces a retreat from you. But the problem is, it's all embracing and powerful as an evolutionary tool to protect you. But it can destroy you if you listen to it too much or it gets out of hand. It's a little bit like your own immune system can reject organs that are put in to help you, and things like anaphylactic shock, etc., where a response that your body thinks is natural and helps can sometimes destroy you. Depression for me has sometimes lasted for years, months, weeks, days, hours, and minutes. And I often hear people say, when they've heard that people have committed suicide and people have took their own lives, that, oh, they seem fine earlier. And, you know, it's just a very, very strange thing that can come and go. And you have got this external part of you which is trying to put forward a brave face and to just get through the day. And I've had like weekends where it kind of comes and goes, and very, very strange. It's very, very hard to explain. But I remember going to a football match, and I was watching the football, and like even the things that happen on a football match and the emotions just couldn't distract me from this darkness. And then I went home and I looked at my dad, and he just lifted me, just going home and seeing my dad, you know, that kind of family comfort. I remember getting in it, just like it disappeared. And it can be as silly and ephemeral as that, but there's no doubt in its power and how helpless you feel sometimes. It's very strange. Sometimes when you are feeling down, you can be thinking things like, oh, it'd be best if I wasn't here, etc. But it's when you come to plan that you need to get help. And I've never got to a point ever in my life where I've been planning it. Often you think, oh, you know, life's worthless and you're having a bad time. But to actually plan it, that's when you know that you need to seek that help. And I can't echo that enough to fellow Samaritans in the UK. Get advice, have people around you that you can contact and speak to, and plan for it in advance so that you can then use that when the time comes, that strategy. Suicide as well is, I've often heard it said, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem, because bridge jumpers, apparently the ones who survive, say they always change their mind on the way down. There is always hope, and it's the danger when you feel at those moments that there is no hope, which do go, but the very powerful feelings when you're in the midst of it. There are people who are very good at knowing themselves, which is, again, one of the basic tenets of what the ancient Greeks said. And I always speak about Harari, that first of all, you need to know yourself and better yourself, and then join groups with others to make the world a better place. Knowing yourself, you can know when maybe depression is coming and think, whoa, I need to say no to things, or I need to just look after myself for a little bit. And knowing it's coming, and to use your support mechanisms and make sure you don't cross that threshold into what might be called severe depression. My experience of depression as well is different to things like manic depression or bipolar, which are where you go from extreme highs to extreme lows, and that can be quite psychotic at times. And I'm not saying that people make any choices about these issues, but for me, I've always found that when I know I'm in a funny way, I can do things to help alleviate it, and it's about making sure you don't cross that threshold. Exercise is probably one of the best single things I do to manage depression, and in the mornings, get up and do some exercise. It might be a bit of yoga. You can do 10 star jumps on the spot for all I care. I go for a short run. If you don't like running, you've got to weigh up whether the pain you sometimes feel by doing some exercise is worse than the slow pain of depression throughout the day when you're not quite there and you haven't quite got going. So I would say exercise in the morning. And it's been proven in studies that that can be better than antidepressants by exercising in the morning. I have a bike machine at home. I sometimes go for a short run. If you don't like running and you're out of practice, even if you run a couple of hundred meters and then walk for a bit and then run around the block again and then walk for a bit and then come home, jump in the shower, freshen up, you will feel better because you produce those positive hormones. Making sure you've got good relationships with family and friends as well, and developing those relationships. They can drive you mad, family, but they're the people you turn to when you're at your lowest. In my time, speaking to my sister when I've been really struggling, even though like you might not always click with them, and we all fight when we're younger, etc., but they can often be the people who you can rely on the most. Do good things, I call them strawberries. It might be like listening to music. I've got a friend who does modelling and models, like the things you make in your house, not like walking up and down a catwalk, although if you want to do that, knock yourself out. So going for a walk, doing journaling, getting a shower, getting a bath, whatever works for you, do it. Find those things that get you out of that mood. And my good friend Ian, who's been on this podcast once, sent me a little list of when you feel like this, do this, with the different kind of maladies you can experience throughout the day mentally. So find out what works for you and don't accept it. Feeling sorry for yourself, not getting out of bed, sitting there doing nothing. Come up with a strategy and do it. Whatever your strawberries are, the little positive things in life. I keep quoting Socrates, the unexamined life is not worth living. Journal about your life. Reflect on your life. Think about how you can make your life better. And journaling's a big part of my life. I think I'm going to do another episode on journaling. I did one about 18 months ago. But I've really developed my journaling in the last 18 months, and I've spoken to other people who use it daily. For me, I write down good things that have happened in my day and things that have got on my nerves, and then strategies so that the next time that thing happens, how can I deal with it better? Sometimes there are no easy answers, and it's just a case of writing about it so you just process the emotions. And I got a lot of that from Paul Cope, who's been on the podcast as well. So journaling, for me, I'm at the point now where journaling has become so good for me because I've persevered with it and I've found what works for me. If you're one of them people who are good at reflecting without writing things down and bettering yourself, great. But I often find I just get lost in a bit of a stream of consciousness, sometimes negative thought patterns where you can't really analyse what's going on because you let things get to you. So journaling gives me a chance to be as objective as possible and reflect on my life. Working with depression and anxiety can be tough. My depression in 2007 was very, very bad, and it was exacerbated by steroids I was taking for a genetic illness at the time. And no steroids, not the anabolic ones, I'm talking about the ones, prednisolone, which calm your immune system down. The damage they did to my mental state, and I couldn't come off them because of the condition I had at the time requiring them for its management, I've really come on leaps and bounds since then and managed to come off steroids and go on to other things which are less of a hindrance to my mental well-being. So sometimes it can be hard to get away from things which make it worse. It might be a difficult relationship as well, but that's another story. So when you're down there, try and change your environment as much as possible to make it better. Keep believing that you can get better and that there's always hope. Eventually, when I came off steroids in 2008, after 6 years on them, I always thought I'd be on them forever because they were such an important part of the treatment to me physical illness that I've got. But I've kind of thrived since then and I've been a lot better mentally, which is very important. So never ever give up. Even things that you think are set in stone can change. Anxiety, gradual reintegration into things that make you anxious can help. But I think it's also important to acknowledge that some things make you anxious and to be okay with that. There are certain things, particularly if you're neurodiverse, whatever, you've got a history of particular things. It's quite a strength, I think, to say, I find these situations okay and I find these situations difficult, and to be okay with that doesn't mean that you completely avoid them. You still dip your toes in the water and try and expose yourself to it. Public speaking can be one of those things that people find terrifying but can get really good at, and that's something that I've got a lot better at throughout my life. As a teacher, it always helps anyway when you can speak in front of people. So work with depression, things do change. Work with anxiety, think about the strategies that can make things better. Reintegrate yourself into things. Don't say things like, oh, I'll never play football again, which is what I said in 2007 when I was really, really struggling with my physical health as well. And I got back to playing football. It's very easy for the negative mind to just dismiss things and say that things will never get better. Don't listen to that negative mind. That is where hope is lost. Stresses. There are a lot of stresses in our lives, and our ability to manage them, it's like a jar. When the jar overfills, it can sometimes be little things that make the jar overfill, the straw that breaks the camel's back. And it can seem like your world can fall apart. And that's where depression can get really bad. Sometimes just little things triggering you. And it's about being aware of that and avoiding stress and being very, very forthright in avoiding stress, which means saying no. And if necessary, changing jobs, cutting out negative relationships, working on yourself and being really, really positive about making your life positive and ambitious as well. It might be difficult to get certain things out of your life, but do it. If there's a particular thing which an environment or a situation or a group of people or a person who is exacerbating your stress, you need to do something about it. Which isn't to say you just cut yourself off from everything. There are other options as well, so explore those. There's always a genetic element to these things as well we need to add. And socialization is a factor, your family situation, your economic situation. If I was someone who's struggling to pay the bills month to month and worried about finances, that just makes things 10 times worse. And I'm going to look at that when we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs in a few podcasts. Being in a precarious situation financially makes everything worse. And that's why we need people in governments who understand what it's like for the average person instead of the absolute shower that we have in the UK at the moment of very strange millionaire stroke weirdos, but that's another story. Depression is a profound individual experience, and it's very hard to explain it to others who've not been there, but we all experience it in different ways, and we all have difficult times in life anyway, even if you don't have technical depression. You do get better at managing it, and depression does lift. It never stays bad all the time. And it's very important that we remove stress from our lives, we get better, and embrace the journey that we're all on, and don't wish our life away. Life is too short for depression, and although depression can be something that comes in your way, I don't want to call it an obstacle that can become, that you can overcome, but I want to just say it's a coping mechanism and a reality that sometimes gets out of hand, and you are not alone. And life is difficult for everyone, and it can be particularly difficult when you suffer from depression. So when you do, take the initiative, work with others, make yourself better, develop yourself, stay interested. How can I get better? Why am I feeling like this? Do whatever it takes to explore what's going on and to make your life better, and never, ever, 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 ever give up. There's always someone else there who can help you, and there's an agency that can help you. And if you know me, you can contact me. And if you don't know me, contact someone else, or look after yourselves, because we only get one chance at this, and we can't waste it, folks. So take it easy.